Welcome back to Pastor Vic's Nuggets of Truth. And I'm excited to begin a new year as we kick off the year 2022. And I can't think of a better subject to talk about than the idea of new beginnings. The beginning of a new year is the perfect time to leave the past behind and make new decisions for the future. The most important decision one can make is to make a new commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, perhaps you're one of those people that have strayed or walked away from God. Let me tell you that there is no better time than now to rededicate or recommit your life to your relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, if you're watching this and you're interested in making a first-time commitment, I want you to consider the words of Jesus. In John 14, verse 6, Jesus said to those who were listening, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to me, or no one comes to the Father, except through me." And then again, the most famous scripture probably that most people are familiar with is John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, it is through Jesus that we have eternal life. As I said a moment ago, he's the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. And so if you're interested in making that decision, then let me just encourage you with the promise that we find in the scriptures. In Ephesians 2:8-9, the writer says, "For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, and not of works, lest any man should boast." You see, you can't save yourself. You can't earn your salvation. You don't deserve your salvation. But God has given it to you as a gift simply by believing upon the one whom he sent, and that is Jesus. That's what grace means. For by grace you've been saved through faith. You have believed, and that grace which God offers, you begin, then have an opportunity to receive. And then Romans chapter 10 gives us a little insight on what we need to do. And the writer in Romans says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then it goes on to say, "For the scriptures say, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame." It won't be disappointed. "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved." You see, all that is required is to believe that Jesus is who he says he is and receive the gift of new life. And with that gift is the promise that the Holy Spirit of God will come into your life and help you fulfill the hopes, the dreams that Jesus puts into your heart. You know, perhaps you're one of those people who made a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, and for one reason or another, you've walked away, you've moved away from God, you just put God on the back burner. You know, sometimes we use the phrase, you backslid. You slid away from your original relationship. But there's good news for the backslider, because God says in his word that he is married to the backslider. In other words, he is committed to the backslider. He will not walk away from you. A person can walk away from God, but God will not walk away from you. In Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 14, Jeremiah says, "Return, O backsliding children, says the Lord, for I am married to you. I will take you one from a city and two from a family, and I will bring you to Zion." And then in Jeremiah chapter 24, verse 7, "Then I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall," what? "Return to me with their whole heart." And Jeremiah's not finished, because then he has something to say about those who are far off from God. And that's in the scripture which you may be familiar with, and that's Jeremiah 29:11. And then it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart." Now you may be feeling weak and tired, but listen to what Isaiah says in chapter 40, verse 31. "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." And then there's the instruction in Isaiah 43:18. "Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth." So whether you're making a first-time commitment or whether you're committing again to your relationship to Jesus Christ, remember that He is for you. He is not against you. His promise is that He will never leave you nor forsake you. And so one of the most important things that we consider is that when we enter into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, it truly is like a marriage. You know, through sickness, through health, through good times, through bad times, through every kind of situation you can think of, He will never, never abandon you. And so as we talk about new beginnings, it's important for us to remember that we belong to Him and that He belongs to us. Now, a new beginning can start at any time, but frankly, there's no better time than now. You know, I find it interesting that in the Old Testament, the first book of the Bible, Genesis, chapter 1, verse 1 states, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth." In the beginning. Then in the New Testament, in the first chapter of the Gospel of John, the writer writes, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." There can be no question that what we're speaking about in this case, or in these verses that we just mentioned, is that Jesus Christ is the Word. He is the Word become flesh. And then there's a new beginning for every Christian. I'm sure you're familiar with the scripture in 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." You see, you're not defined by your past, whether it's good or bad, but you are defined by your relationship with Jesus Christ. Look at your life. Figure out what's been holding you back. Those weights may be sin and preventing you from moving forward. Remember, you are forgiven, absolute and total. And so keep marching in the right direction, and the right direction is towards Jesus. The Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 20, "But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off, you concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." See, I believe every person knows what things are preventing him or her from moving forward with the Lord. And it's really up to them. It's up to you to walk away from those strongholds that are holding you back. See, every person in Christ must make the decision to be completely committed to the cause of Christ. You can't be half-hearted. You've got to be all in to reap the benefits of an overcoming life on earth. Now, I know there are times we don't quite know what to do. And it's in those times that we must turn to the scriptures. The Old Testament contains three books that are classified as wisdom books. They are Job, Ecclesiastes, and Proverbs. Some scholars also include two more books. They also include Psalms and Song of Solomon. Now, the wisdom books give practical, I want to emphasize that, give practical everyday advice and direction. They are the building blocks of a life that is focused on the Lord. For instance, a very familiar passage would, of course, be Psalm 23. Now, I often hear Psalm 23 being used during funerals, but the reality is Psalm 23 is written for those that are alive. And I believe that Psalm 23 is a good guide for planning for the new year. It gives us instruction and promises. Now, those come to pass if we follow his instructions. Then he will fulfill his promises. Psalm 23 is a psalm of David. And David is described by God as a man after my own heart. That's a quote. Which means that David wanted to do only one thing: please God. Now, this doesn't mean that David was perfect, but it does mean that his desire was to please the Lord. As believers, our desire should be to please the Lord in all that we do. Now, I know there are times when the Lord reveals to us his purpose and plan for our lives, but then there are also times when we have to make our own decisions in life. And it's in those times of making decisions that the wisdom and the practical application of the scriptures becomes an important guide for living. That's why we are encouraged to read and meditate on the Word of God. You see, it's not just about knowing the Lord's intentions and his will for us, but it is the ability to obey and follow through the Lord's directions. How are we to know God's will unless we spend time in his word? Now, we can count on the Lord to help in our ability to hear and obey because the Lord has placed his Holy Spirit in us as believers in Christ to be a guide, to be a teacher, and to be a comforter. Psalms 23 instructs us to acknowledge that the Lord is my shepherd and that I shall not be in want. You see, the Lord promises to fulfill all of our needs, but careful now, but not necessarily all of our wants, because sometimes the things that we want actually lead us away from the Lord and his plan and purposes for our lives. So we need to acknowledge that he is our shepherd. We follow the shepherd. Then in verse 2, there's a promise that if we trust in him, he will make our path easy and that we will not be troubled. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. All of this speaks of his provision. Remember Matthew chapter 6, verse 30. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added to you. Now, what are these things that will be added to us? They are the things that you need for life and for godliness. Now, clearly, verse 2, which we've just read, is about our physical needs. But the Lord is also concerned about your emotional needs as well. And we see that in verse 3. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Philippians 4, 6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts, will guard your mind through Christ Jesus. You see, peace in this case is the peace that doesn't depend upon the circumstances. It's the peace of knowing him and knowing that you are known by him as well. Then we move into verse 4. There we see a promise that regardless of what you're going through in life, that I don't need to be in fear. You see, fear causes us to doubt the Lord, and doubt is the enemy of faith. Remember, we're learning how to walk by faith and not by sight. That's 2 Corinthians 5:7. So no matter what you're going through, God is with you. He will protect you, and he will guide you if you have an ear to hear. Verse 5 is another expression of God's protection and his abundant provision. It says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over." As Christians, we face enemies both spiritual and physical. And we must remind ourselves that God has promised to never leave us or forsake us. The Lord is ours, and we are his, and that will never change. Finally, the conclusion to David's psalm to the Lord. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Here we have a reaffirmation of the Lord's promise that he will provide and protect, and that we will also spend eternity with Jesus, our Lord and Savior, in heaven. All of this because you have decided to follow Jesus. Let me close with this final scripture from the Apostle Paul. And I believe that this should be our personal mission statement. Philippians 3:12. "Not that I have already attained or I'm already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me." Paul says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended or arrived. But the one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." I just want to encourage you that this year is going to be a great year. Come on, can you agree with me? It's going to be a prosperous year. It's going to be a year when your relationship with Jesus Christ becomes stronger and stronger than ever before. And because of that, all of the promises of the Word of God will be poured out in your life. And so I pray that you will prosper. I pray that you'll be in good health. And I pray that you go deeper in your relationship with the Lord. God bless you. God bless you. God bless your families. And if you're in the ministry, may God richly bless your ministry as well. Until the next time, we'll see you.